What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. This is Chris Albert, and this is where we discuss tools, tactics, ideas, issues, and introduce you to people who can help you to live your best life. And on today's episode, we bring back on my old friend, Albert Carrasco. Now, Albert is the other half of Warrior Soul. He's responsible for all the production and the fulfillment of all Warrior Soul products, all of our t-shirts. He's also responsible for all the merchandise that Terminal Lance puts out. He helps to create their t-shirts and everything surrounding that brand. Albert is a really awesome guy. And one of the things I wanted to bring him on to talk about is, you know, he's kind of like a renaissance man. He's a photographer. He's running this print company up in Santa Barbara. He's leading people. He's also a bodybuilder, and he's heavily into fitness. And so the last time he came on, we kind of talked about his personal schedule. In this episode, this is more of a conversational episode, and we get into things like the impact of social media on our culture and on our lives. We talk about work ethic. Albert grew up without a father, and when he was a kid, his family couldn't afford to buy him clothes or shoes. So at the age of 13, Albert got a job, and he talks about that. He talks about, you know, how he developed work ethic from a very young age. And he talks about how a lot of his employees of college age don't really understand how to work, and they don't understand the value of work. We get into that. We discuss, people trying to contact us for sponsorships and things like that, why that's a bad idea. And we discuss how to truly impress somebody you're trying to associate yourself with, if you do want to eventually try to start a relationship with a company like us or any other company out there. So, like I said, this is a really great conversation. There's a lot of value in it, and Albert is an awesome dude. A couple of things I just want to announce. Number one, our Warrior for Life program is going full tilt now. And now, what is this? This is an online group for those people who are following this show, those in the veteran community, and maybe those outside of the veteran community who are looking to live their best lives through fitness. Now, when you sign up for this, you're going to get a free 14-day testosterone optimization workout, a testosterone optimization checklist, but you're also going to get access to a group, the Warrior Soul Fitness Academy. And that's where we put out a lot of really awesome information related to fitness, to nutrition, and to aspects of living your best life. You're also going to be able to keep in touch with the Warrior Soul podcast and everything we do over here and everything we do with the brand. Lots and lots of value go into this. And if you want to sign up, you can head over to menshealth.warriorsoulagoge.com. That's menshealth.warriorsoulagoge.com. In addition to that, for those of you who are less interested in something like that, but more interested in learning about the ketogenic diet, and I know I've had a lot of people contact me about that because we put a lot of information out about low-carb, high-fat dieting and its benefits for performance. We've got a free course on getting started on the ketogenic diet, and it's a full five video course, along with a free cookbook, along with a free grocery list, and a whole bunch of resources that can help to get you started there. If you're interested in that, you can head over to www.startketoright.com. And the final announcement is this. This podcast is brought to you by F-Bomb Nutrition, a really awesome company that does their best to help veterans. And they're really awesome people. They're literally sending packages of their product out to troops on the front lines in Afghanistan and who are deployed around the world. And you're interested in trying these out, they're basically portable packets of fats. But my favorite are their macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate, mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. And they're so delicious. And you can get them for 20% off for your first order if you head over to www.dropanfbomb.com and use the code WarriorSoul at checkout. And with that, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Albert Carrasco, the other half of Warrior Soul, and entrepreneur extraordinaire, and photographer extraordinaire, and I guess you could say modern Renaissance man.
This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What's going on, Albert? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Just getting my day started.
Yeah. Did you have your coffee yet?
I have not.
Do you drink coffee? Inquiring minds want to know.
Sometimes.
And when you drink coffee?
Sometimes, but...
Do you put cream in it?
Mm-hmm. When?
Huh?
No, I don't. I use stevia.
Stevia. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And do you drink like normal coffee or do you drink espresso?
Espresso.
Get a nice double espresso. Yeah. Gives you a good caffeine high. That's awesome. I got some nice black coffee in front of me right now and it is warming me up really good. And I am nothing without a cup of coffee in me, at least. Like, I can't think. I can't, I don't know. I don't have the calmness in my day yet, right? Like, I can function without a cup of coffee, but I don't have, like, that calm feeling, like that warm from inside kind of feeling that you get from it.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm kind of lucky because I always drink my coffee cold. Not really. I actually don't like hot drinks.
You drink your coffee cold?
Yeah, I like to put it over ice.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. You're one of those guys there.
I've never been able to do like tea or anything like that. Like it's just the pot, so I can't do it.
Yeah, you know, I hated coffee until I went on deployment. And there was... this guy, because we were working with a lot of like people who were civilian contractors, and there was this guy there who used to be a French legionnaire, right? He served in the Foreign Legion, but he was Polish, right? You know, like all people from all over the world, they come and they serve in the Foreign Legion. And he would make this awesome coffee. Like somehow he had a grinder there. He had like the French press. He had everything going on. And I started drinking that coffee when I was on duty. And it was freaking, it was ridiculous, man. Like, it was so good. I got up to like 7 cups of that a night just to stay up, you know, because we were doing like long, long shifts. Like, not a hard deployment at all. I mean, like, it was a security mission, but like, we were doing these long, long shifts. And it was just like this comforting feeling. And, you know, whenever I drink coffee now, it just reminds me of security, just feeling secure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
But dude, so what do you got going on in your life these days?
It's pretty simple. You know, I still just work and I take care of my dogs and I go to the gym. So it's pretty basic. A lot of people think that it's more exciting than that for some reason. But I mean, that keeps me pretty entertained most of my days.
So just for people who haven't heard about you, you're a photographer. You're what's it called? You're taking photographs of beautiful women all the time. You've got two amazing dogs, and we'll talk about them in a second, but you're also the entire production and fulfillment side of Warrior Soul. Years ago, back when I was going to UCSB on the GI Bill, you used to work in the veteran office and, you served in the Marine Corps yourself. And, that's how we got to know each other. But we came together like a few years ago and decided to try to create this t-shirt company. Right. And so you've been doing that. You're also responsible for printing out Terminal Lance merchandise, things like mm-hmm. that. And you do some great work, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I guess when I say I go to work and stuff, and I, you know, dogs, I guess I'm making very blanket statements about complex things because my day job is definitely very involved. So it's kind of nonstop, and there's always new projects, and there's always things that need to improve. And so, yeah, that's when I'm at work that consumes my entire time. It's like sometimes, you know, like we talked about in our last episode, it's one of those things where there's so much to do that sometimes you feel like, well, not all of this can be done in one day. So what's the most important stuff to get done in one day?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I mean, you got to prioritize because the way the world is, it basically in this, the way the world is right now, you know, we all have these devices that we carry around and they're all these kind of, you know, there's multiple ways of getting in touch with us no matter what. Right.
Right.
And we're conditioned to pick up those phones at any moment in the day just to get a little bit of a dopamine hit. Like when you see your phone, you want to pick that thing up and you want to see those notifications on there and you want to see who might have texted you, who might have liked your post on Facebook, who might have, you know, double tapped one of your pictures on Instagram. And before you know it, you could get through half your day with most of that time you spend just staring at that phone doing nothing. And it's pretty insane. It's pretty insane how easily we've become conditioned to this whole situation in just a matter of time. And ladies and gents, I just realized that I didn't plug my microphone in. So my audio is about to get a whole lot better.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. Cool. Yeah, no, that's probably much better now. So, yeah, what I was saying was that, you know, with those that phone situation, it's really crazy because those phones have only been in our lives about, you know, what, like a decade? Like, what was it, like 2007, 2008, the iPhone got released or something like that. And then now it's 2018 and people can't live without them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember. I didn't have a smartphone for a while. I was kind of late on that. But yeah, I will admit that it's one of the things that most people, including myself, like really need. But the few times, because I have broken a lot of phones in my time, a few times that I've broken my phone to the point where I can't use it, and I had like maybe like a few days or even a week, because, you know, like you have to do the insurance thing and then they ship it to you. It was really cool not having it.
Yeah, dude, I went up to Big Bear like 2 weeks ago and we went camping and like I had no service up there. And at first it was driving me crazy because I didn't have service. I couldn't check on anything. But then, you know, I just got to enjoy the mountains and enjoy, you know, the scenery and enjoy time with my girlfriend and time with my friends who came out there to visit. And it was really cool. Like, you know, I think we need to get a rest from that kind of stuff and, you know, kind of try to break that loop where you're not checking your messages all the time. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, when you're posting something on Instagram and you got to go in there just to see who double tapped on it, just to see, you know, whether that or not that thing's performing how you want to, it's kind of crazy. It's doing something to all of us.
Yeah, totally. I myself have been trying to rethink how I manage that stuff, but and how I receive it, if you want to call it that. So I think that I'm getting better about it.
Yeah, what kind of stuff are you trying?
Oh, just like literally, like telling myself that it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like anything that I share is above anything else, like for me and. Whether people like or don't like it, and that's not my problem. So I don't really care as much anymore. Yeah.
One thing I try to do is, like, I'll try to take my phone and I'll stick it in a room across the house, like entirely across the house, and I'll stick it into a drawer, and I won't keep it around. So that way there's no notifications. And then I've turned off literally all the notifications on my phone. So like I've turned off notifications from Facebook Messenger. I've turned off notifications from Instagram. I've turned off everything. The only thing that'll show up there is text messages. And usually people aren't trying to text message me unless, you know, it's my girlfriend or a family member trying to get in touch with me or something like that. And then I'll pick a time, like I'll actually schedule it into my schedule, like 10 minutes to look at my phone. And then, you know, from there, I will put it back in and then I'll schedule some time to look at it later in the day. One thing I am bad about is at nighttime when I'm supposed to be like kind of cooling down and not doing anything, I'll end up looking at my phone. And that's because I like to listen to podcasts while I'm doing stuff at night. Cause like nighttime's kind of like my, a little bit of my, my home keeping time. Like if I'm doing something for the house or if I'm cooking dinner that night or something like that, I'll turn on a podcast to listen to it. And it's a good way to learn things while you're doing something. But, a lot of times notifications will come up at that point and I'll go into some rabbit holes.
Hmm. Yeah. I just, I don't think that I'm ever stationary enough, like, to do that. I'm always moving, and I guess I want to spend more time at home, even at night, if I just don't.
Yeah. Well, you're at the gym a lot too, right?
Yeah. Well, I usually leave work between, it varies, but anywhere from 3:30 to even like 6:30. There was a few days last week that I left at like 8. So usually right after that, yeah, I go to the gym and then I have two puppies. So obviously I have to take them out or do something with them. So there's like a lawn on the UCSB campus. I don't know if you remember where the chemistry lawn is, but I like to take them there because it's a semi-private area.
Yeah, I see you playing catch with them all the time out there. You got a she's a German Shepherd, Athena, right? And then you got a what? Yeah. Is the other one a Pitbull?
Yeah, she's an American Pitbull.
That's so cool.
That one's only 3 months old. So she's still learning, but they're both doing really good. They're both really smart.
That's cool. And so with having dogs like that, that's pretty cool because it gives you something to take care of, right? And I think that's important for, like, I think it's important for single guys, right? Because if you don't have something to take care of in your life, something to tend to, then a lot of times you're kind of, what's the word? Like, it grounds you more. It's almost like a preparation for other things. You know what I mean? Like, when I got my dog Piper, it was kind of like a preparation for a whole lot in my life, being able to have a relationship with another person, being able to have someone else in my life that I could take care of and that I was responsible for. I think it's almost like training wheels for human beings, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I do think that it has taught me a lot from the short time I've had them. Kind of just understanding even how I communicate with people. I mean, you know, a puppy, I'm a really big believer in fundamentals, like, because I believe that the skills that you have is applied to in multiple avenues of your life, not just one.
Right.
Like, you know, you don't just talk to a dog a certain way and then that's how you talk to dogs. It's very similar. Like, you know, if a dog is jumping, you have to correct it every time. And if you stop correcting your dog from jumping on you, then it's going to keep doing it because it thinks it's okay. In the same way that with a person, when a person's doing something you don't like, and you let them do it over and over and you never correct them, that person is being conditioned to be allowed to do that to you.
Right.
And then, you know, it's just like with the dog. If one day you blow up and yell at the dog not to do something that you've never corrected it with, the dog's going to be like, what the fuck's your problem, bro? Like, and it's going to be the same thing with a person. And so, I don't know, I guess, like, the funny thing is, like, I had never had dogs before, but I like to think that I was already practicing some of these communication skills, if you want to call it that, in my outside, like, in my regular life. So, mm-hmm. I kind of just, when I made the connection that it's literally the same thing, but it's a dog, it actually made it easier because the dog wants to listen, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, let's unpack that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Cause I think that's really important to think about and everything you just said. You know, if you're letting things go in your relationships with other people, right? So yeah. If you're a pushover, if you are not correcting, you know, bad behaviors amongst those you're close with, or if you're not correcting bad behaviors, amongst your employees or, you know, anybody in your organization, and you're letting them go, then they can turn into much bigger things. If you're not correcting yourself, you know, your small behaviors, right? So, yeah. So like if you're developing bad habits, maybe you're sitting on the couch, you know, drinking a six pack every night and you're not getting up and, you know, your wife's walking around the house and the only time you talk to her is when you want a beer from the refrigerator. You know, that kind of stuff adds up and it could quickly boil over into things not tended to in your life. Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that, I think that's really important. I'm reading a book right now. And this guy's going to come on to the podcast this week. His name's Stephen Mansfield and it's Mansfield's Book of Manly Men. And his, I think it's his second maxim. He says it's the most important one is that men tend to their territory. Men tend to their territory. And, what does that mean? It means that you're tending to everything in your world, right? Whether it's your relationships, whether it's your home, whether it's the way you look, whether it's, you know, the things you're putting out there into the world for other people to consume and enjoy. All these things are part of our territory as men. And you have to figure out how to tend to it in a way that they're not going to fall off, that they're not going to appear awful. And if your house looks like crap from the outside, if, you know, you're not tending to your kids and, you know, you haven't talked to your kids in forever and they're going off and doing whatever they're doing and you haven't touched your wife in 3 months, that's, you know, your problem and it's something you got to fix. And
yeah,
kind of seeing the way here and through dog training and through owning dogs, it's kind of like Musashi. When you see the way in all things.
Yeah, exactly. And I really do believe that. Like, So I don't know. I don't know if I take for granted the fact that I was able to pick that concept up, but there is only one way, really. And you just have to break it down and figure out, well, how does it translate to this side or this industry? But I do believe that it's all the same.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you're way younger than me. I'm about to turn 40 this year or next year. How old are you right now, Albert?
I just turned 29.
You just turned 29. So you're a good 11 years younger than I am. And it's kind of like a generational thing right now. And you're also, you live right near a college campus. You have your shop on a college campus. Yep. What are you noticing amongst the younger generation? And what are you noticing amongst your generation as far as the way things are going?
So the only interactions I get with the younger generation really is like through my employees. And then a couple of the kids at the gym that, you know, over time reach out to me and want to know what the hell I'm doing, because Yeah, that's what they do.
Because you're jacked and you're a bodybuilder and you got veins coming out everywhere and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'll start with my employees first above everything else. I've noticed that there are a couple that can work really hard, but for the most part, a lot of them don't. They don't know how to hustle. They don't understand. I literally had to have a meeting with one of them when we were having them work on something to tell them, if you fuck this up, you're going to waste 10 to 15 minutes of your labor and X amount of dollars in materials with every mistake. So you can see how that can add up to a lot of money lost, and then this entire job isn't worth doing. So I need you to really pay attention. And if you're not, then I need you to tell me that you can't do that, because I'm not going to have you do it, and I'll put this task on someone else. And he was like, no, I'm ready for it. Let's do it. But, you know, it's funny because to me, that's, while that is being extra clear and telling them, like, really, really don't fuck this up. To me, when I have any job, I really try not to mess anything up. You know, like, that's already built into me. I don't need that extra level of explanation for me to take it seriously, where some of my kids do. And it's funny, I call them my kids, but because they're, you know, anywhere between 18 to 21, they're still college kids and they work for us. And they, some of them don't get it. They kind of just think like, oh, it's whatever. I like came, I clocked in, and now I'm here. And no, it's cool. Like, I'm just doing this one task for now, and then I'll do this later. And there's something like, they like just don't make that connection of like how serious real work is. And I mean, you know, we're not like laboring, but there is a lot of different things to do in commercial printing, and there's timelines. And, you know, for us, especially when we're doing educational materials for the university, you know, it's like some of those books take a lot of time to make. And it's like, for someone to go fuck it up at the very end, like, that's kind of disappointing.
Where do you think that attitude comes from? Do you think it's because, you know, they're college students and they think that the labor itself is beneath them? Or do you think it's they're trying to focus on their studies and they're trying to focus on their job? Or do you think it's, you know, just something that, you know, the way they were raised, or just, they just haven't had much responsibility in their lives?
Yeah, exactly. I think that some of them just don't know how to work because they never really had to. And, you know, a lot of people like think that, oh, well, you know, just because these people grew up poor or whatever, then they must know how to work. But also, in certain families, when you're poor, parents do a lot so that the kids don't have to work.
Right.
I've had that too. I've had kids who told me that they were poor, but like they didn't have any work ethic. And I was wondering, and then that kind of opened up my eyes to the fact that, well, their parents basically said, you study, you study. And the parents took the brunt of like that labor responsibility. They worked two jobs each or whatever. And then, you know, that made sense. And obviously there's nothing wrong with that, because parents want the best for their kid and everyone has a different way of doing that. But, you know, like I said, I do think that it's on how they were raised and what they were exposed to versus, I mean, you know, I'm not somebody that likes to compare my own story to others because everybody's different, like I just said. But for me, you know, I got my first job as early as 13 years old, and I used that money to buy clothes because my mom, who did try to encourage me to study as much as possible, her money went to food and housing. So that's why I got stuck wearing the same clothes growing up. I was one of those kids. So that's how I learned how to work, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I know that not everybody learns it that way.
So yeah, you started working early, and I know you had a pretty rough childhood as far as things go. And you know, we could get into that if you want, if you don't. You know, one of the things that you mentioned there is the idea that a lot of poorer parents, they don't want their kids to work. They want them to study. And so I think this idea is going away, but I come from an immigrant family, and I think you come from an immigrant family as well. You know, I was the first generation to really ever graduate from college, right? And I was second generation to go into the military. But like, the idea was that college was this thing that was a status changer, that was going to change your whole family's history, that was going to change everything about, you know, who you were, what the family was doing. It was going to rise you up a level. But I don't think people, and I, again, I think this concept is going away, but I don't think people realize that you don't get shit unless you put the work in, regardless of if you have a college degree or not. You know, granted, there are some people out there, they come from extremely rich families. They'll go to Harvard. They'll come out. They'll get their first six-figure salary or something like that. But if you're going to a four-year university and you're majoring in something that's not a science or, you know, not very technically oriented, and you're just cruising through, you're going to have so much debt by the end of that period. You're going to be way behind somebody who started working at the age of, you know, 18 years old, and then you're going to get out, and basically you're going to get hired for a job that's around $30,000 if you're lucky enough to find a job, right? And what I used to see was a lot of people come out and they get these types of jobs, entry level jobs, and they'd say, "Oh, well, they're not allowing me to work up to my potential or my thing." And the thing is, you don't have any potential in the eyes of an entrepreneur, in the eyes of a business owner. You don't have anything if you're just coming out with a 4-year degree. All you've got is something to show that you could do a little bit of schoolwork.
Yeah, I've heard that before too, and you know, or the fact that you'll stick something through for 4 years. But you know, to me, that argument has never really been a strong one personally. But you know, there's a reason why it's people say it.
yeah, exactly. So, what do you think? You know, growing up and like you said, you got your first job at 13 years old. What was your first job?
Well, I walked up to one of the lecturers. I went to church at the time. And I actually was an altar boy as a child. And I talked to one of the lecturers that was always there every Sunday. And I was like, "Hey, Tony," he actually owned USA Cab in San Diego. And I was like, can I go and work? And he was like, "Why?" And then I told him that I wanted to buy clothes and shoes. And he's like, "Come to my house on Saturday." So he made me do like just random stuff that. And so I like yard work, helped him organize things in his garage. And, you know, now looking back, I know that he basically just created work for me. And then he, you know, there was a handful of times that I did stuff at his shop, but obviously, I imagine they were like the most non-dangerous things, because obviously like it would be a liability if I hurt myself at his building. Because it was like USA Cab, and it was like its own, they did all their own mechanics, all their own work on the cabs. So all the maintenance. And what was it? Oh yeah. And then he owned some properties. So there was like a handful of times I got to do like demolition. He just handed me a sledgehammer. Said, these things need to get taken out, so break them. And then I learned how to destroy bathrooms and things like that.
That's pretty cool. 13 years old, somebody hands you a sledgehammer and they say, "Go destroy that bathroom."
Yeah. Actually, that was, I still remember that was one of the coolest things I had done in that time frame.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I guess you're at this point right now, and like, did you have a father figure in your life?
No, that was my mom.
Okay. So there was like nobody there. And I guess you could say what you did at 13 years old, you went and you found somebody who could be a mentor to you and could, you know, he's not teaching you about like how to make $1 million, but he's teaching you about the value of work, right?
Yep, exactly.
And then that's somebody there who, you know, he might not have been able to like, you know, take you in, but rather than give you charity, he gave you the opportunity to work and to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's way more important, in my opinion, I think.
Yeah, and I'm really thankful for that because, like I just said, you know, when I see some of my student employees and I see that they've never had to work or never learned it, I'm like, well, you guys are just starting late.
You know, yeah.
Like, no kidding, more and more I've hired people who tell me that that's their first job ever.
Yeah. You know what bugs me out is over social media, we'll get messages on Warrior Soul saying, hey, what's going on? I've got this number of Twitter followers and this number of Instagram followers, and I want to be a sponsored athlete. And I'm like, what? Like, really? You just contacted me for that? Like, that's awful. Like, I don't get how somebody thinks that they're going to make money off of that or how they're going to be an asset for an organization just by saying they're going to be a sponsored athlete, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think kind of like with the behaviors thing that we talked about earlier, you know, some other companies are conditioning people to think that that's okay. Like, for example, Bang Energy Drink has a ton of fitness chicks that just are drinking Bang. And it's like, all right, look, girls, if you really knew anything about fitness, you and something, you know, I'm not being sexist with that comment, I'm sorry, but if anybody takes it that way, but Bang is not like a good pre-workout if you even want to use a pre-workout. So like, what the fuck?
Bang is awful. It's awful.
Like literally go look at the ingredients, and you know what, maybe I shouldn't have name dropped there. You can bleep that out, but
no, we'll name drop on that. I mean, like, right. that's I don't know, I've never seen a real fit person. I mean, I've seen people drinking
You know what, I'll I'm not going to say that I don't drink them, because I will. You know, it's, they're no calorie and they're not terrible, but I know that I'm not getting a pre-workout out of it. What's in it? Caffeine?
Yeah. Dude, okay. I stopped drinking energy drinks a while ago. and the reason was, like, it's not for anything except that, like, they never worked really well for me. Like, coffee will work for me, but like, the reason why I drink coffee isn't to, like I said, it's more of a comfort thing than anything. I like the taste. I like the smell. I like that, like, warm feeling I get in the chest. But like, I don't know. Energy drinks, like, number one, I think the Marine Corps turned me off from energy drinks. Number two, because I drank so many of them. Number two, I don't know, man. You're putting all kinds of crap into your body that, like, is going to have a crazy effect. It could have a crazy effect on you.
But. Yeah. So, you know, going back to that is, like that's one of the companies that I see having sponsored athletes. And it's like, literally sometimes it's the can is just in the frame and they're not even doing anything. And then there's some of these other supplement companies that have, you know, maybe I'll even call it like small time influencers, people with like 20,000 followers or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're taking pictures with their little BCAAs or whatever. And it's just funny to me. Because it's, I don't know. that's why we're getting hit up, because people are learning from companies like that, that it's okay. Hey, you have 20,000 followers. Cool. Come on over. I'll give you this stuff. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, that's just, I don't know, man. It's just like a weird kind of situation we're in. Like, if you were to come to me and say, hey, my name is so-and-so and this is some potential value that I can offer you guys. And, you know, I'm just thinking like, you know, doing some real work or like, you know, helping us with a web asset or like helping us with, you know, designs, things like that, like in showing us your actual work, then, you know, it's something to consider. But if you're just going to show your abs, your ass, or your squat on Instagram, I'm not seeing the benefit there. You know, we've got plenty of people who love the brand and are willing to wear our shirts, you know, and to put it out there just to spread the message. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. And so with that, I almost feel like if I was trying to do that, I would probably reach out and say something along the lines of, you know, if this was true, but I've been following your account for X amount of time and I strongly believe in your message and I love the gear and I would love to know if there's any type of sponsorship opportunity so that I can help grow the brand. That would probably be something closer to like what I would want to see, but people don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, like it's almost like you probably sent this message to a bunch of different brands and you don't care which one.
Right.
Cool. We'll take you, bro. Like, you know, it's like, don't do that. Just pick the one that you really, really want.
Yeah.
And say why you want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But people, there's no personality behind those messages.
You know, one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, because he is a friend and he is somebody who I think got kind of unfairly screwed over by this whole social media sphere, is Hellhound.
Oh man. Yeah.
You know, and just wanted to bring that up, you know, and for anybody who, cause the guy is doing great work. But Instagram cut him off at what, 39,000 followers or something like that?
Yeah. I think he was just like shy of 40. Yeah.
Yeah. So the story goes that this guy, he was doing, you know, pit bull rescue, all kinds of, just dog rescue in general. Right. And what he was doing was he was rescuing these dogs and then he was providing them to people who needed them, right? Like needed companionship. A lot of them were veterans. A lot of them were people who really benefited from the relationship of the dog. And, you know, I don't know why they pulled him off, because I didn't think that his stuff was that offensive or anything like that. But like the guy had a hard edge to him and he still has a hard edge to him. And, you know, they just cut him off at like 39,000 followers.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't understand what happened there either. And it's kind of frustrating, to be honest, because it's like Instagram and Facebook are both doing shit like that. And it's, I don't know, it seems to favor against a certain type of stuff. And it's just like, they're not doing anything with all like the fake shit out there that should be getting taken down. I don't know. It just makes no sense.
Yeah. What's his new Instagram handle? I just want to give him a shout out.
Oh, it's Hellhound Official.
Hellhound Official. Awesome. Yeah. He's up there and, the dude's he's a really good guy. Marine Corps veteran. He gets a little bit ornery, but he's doing really great work for dogs. Like really, really good work for dogs. And some of his stuff is pretty, pretty funny. He's got this one up there. It's like a dog walking away from a house on fire. And then it says, "Who's a good boy?" And then it says, "Not me, motherfucker." So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, dude, we've been on for a little bit now. I think we had a pretty good conversation here and, you know, anything else as far as, you know, what we want to tell you? We've got some big things coming up, but I don't know if we want to talk about them right now or anything like that. But there's some awesome things coming up for the podcast, for the brand and things like that too. So.
Yeah. I think that some of the brand stuff will leave a secret.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're working on a new web presence, a new, better, easier to navigate website, and just a lot of awesomeness for all of you out there. And so we'll be talking to you guys very soon. I will be back at all of you this coming week. We've got some great guests coming up. We've got Mr. Phil Randazzo, the head of American Dream U, an organization that's been helping veterans to put together multi-million dollar businesses. We've also got Mr. Stephen Mansfield coming on, the author of The Faith of George W. Bush, The Faith of Barack Obama, and Mansfield's Book of Manly Men. Also awesome conservative commentator who talks on Fox News and a whole host of other news organizations quite regularly. And then I'll be back at you later this week with more Warrior Notes. I know people have been enjoying those short episodes and more fitness Q&A. So until next time, guys, if you are interested in helping us to promote the show, interested in helping us to provide you with better information. If you can, leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us to figure out what types of content you're going to want, what types of things you're going to want to see from Warrior Soul. It also helps us to promote the show, because when you get more reviews on iTunes, it helps us to get in touch with more veterans, more people trying to improve their lives, and just helps in general. So with that, guys, we'll be back at you very soon with another episode of the Warrior Soul Podcast. Get out there and live your best lives while you can. Peace.
All right. See you guys.